Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. We welcome you to this program. It is our interview segment. Alhamdulillah, the day today is the 4th of Ramadan, 1446, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 5th of March, 2025. Also, other areas of the world, it is the 5th of Ramadan. Today, we have our guest, Hazrat Mawlana Salman Yunus. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, I hope all is well. How's the Ramadan going, Taraweeh, all of this?
Alhamdulillah, all well outside. Ramadan, as you know, just starts and you feel it, and then next thing you know, it's finished. So as Imam just said, 4 days gone, or this is the fourth day, and we have to introspect and see, has it been any different so far?
Mawlana, as we witnessing the rest, the remainder of it, what advice, you always give us, mashallah, good advice today, what's your advice for us?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So when thinking of Ramadan, then generally many aspects comes to a person's mind. And there's certain ahadith which we often hear, which are known as the famous hadith of Ramadan, which is there to encourage us and there to motivate us and for us to realize the importance and the virtue of this blessed month. But many a times when looking at this ahadith, or when hearing these ahadith, then we overlook the finer details, as is often discussed whenever, alhamdulillah, we have these interviews, those finer details which we have to look into that fine comb and realize that, am I part of this category or am I not? Many a times we take it on face value, or we take it on a general consensus or general understanding. But if we have to look at the words itself, and now we look at the hadith, then we'll see a whole different angle, a whole different perspective that comes about in our minds. So today, it's just one of the hadith, inshallah, we want to look at it, and which we've been hearing maybe a few weeks in advance before Ramadan, and now Ramadan is upon us, and now we have that opportunity and that chance to fulfill the hadith. And in this hadith, in which we don't want to be part of this category of people. We don't want to be part of this category of people. Before we go into that hadith, inshallah, see, Allah Ta'ala gives us chances throughout the year, throughout our life for that matter. Allah Ta'ala gives us various occurrences, occasions, events, in which we can use to turn to Allah Ta'ala. And throughout the year, we find what we call prime moments, or throughout the week, throughout the day, there are certain times which are opportune moments which Allah has given us to utilize, to say, to get a jump start, to skip the line, to get there faster. Like once a week, alhamdulillah, we see the day of Jumu'ah comes, in which we know there are so much barakah, so much of blessings. The time of dua is accepted, and most preferable, the view is given between Asr and Maghrib Salah. Today being a Wednesday also, between Zuhr and Asr, we know the hadith mentions of how the dua was accepted. And then we see once every morning at the time of Tahajjud, duas are accepted. When it comes to the days of Hajj, when it comes to the 15th night of Sha'ban, when it comes to Laylatul Qadr, Ramadan, all these are chances Allah is giving us in the year to maximize, to jump that line, we're saying, and to get to Allah faster. But we have to see whether we understand the value of these moments. Today will be one of those moments where after Zuhr till Asr, we have the time of dua. And being the month of Ramadan, whilst we are fasting, a fasting person's dua is not rejected. So how we can maximize this? So every part of the year, or the various parts of the year, Allah gives us his chances. And at certain times, there's a unique speciality of it, which we should ask for certain things, or where reward is maximized. We have to see what the opportunity is at the given moment in time. Currently, alhamdulillah, we find ourselves in the month of Ramadan. And Ramadan is the month of forgiveness. This is a month in which we beg Allah for His forgiveness. This is a month in which every moment is a prime time to beg and ask Allah for forgiveness. We see the time of Sihri, we see throughout our day we are fasting, when we are breaking our fast, after Taraweeh, Salah, because that actually part of the Tahajjud also, if you want to say it, because that's a night prayer. So we have the Tahajjud also. All this year is a form of moments for us to seek forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. So why is Ramadan? Now once we'll say normally 15 night of Sha'ban came was a night of forgiveness. Then we'll see time of Tahajjud, night of forgiveness. But here Allah is giving us an entire month to prepare, to train ourselves. That's what this month must be seen as. That this is a month in which we are training ourselves to abandon sin in totality. Once a while we get one day that comes, or a person goes for Umrah for 1 week and comes back. But that was not enough of training that was required in order to give up sin. In this month of Ramadan we find that we are continuing with our daily tasks. We are continuing with our daily lives. But whilst we are continuing with our daily lives, we are very, very conscious of the fact that I am fasting and I mustn't eat. That I am fasting, I can't eat, I can't drink. And because it's the month of Ramadan, we have the consciousness also to do much more good. To do much more good and to stay away from sin. Now Ramadan, we say, is this training where we build the taqwa. And that taqwa is what's going to keep us away from sin. Now, I'm building up to that hadith by mentioning all of this here. So what do we mean by Ramadan being the month of taqwa, where we nurture and develop the taqwa? Because لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, Allah Ta'ala says, that's why fasting has been prescribed. So taking the understanding of what happens when we fast, taking the concept of what happens when we fast, that is what is going to make that taqwa develop within us. That just like how when we are fasting, we are so conscious, we can be all alone. We can be in the room, we can be at work, we can be in our office, we can be in our kitchen. No one is there. That cold water is there, that nice dessert is there, that food, that burger is sitting there. But no one will dare to take a bite. No one will even think, you know what, let me just take a sip. No one will know. Allah Ta'ala has put that consciousness of our mind that we are fasting and we will not eat. Just like for 30 days we were so particular not to put anything down our throat, similarly now, that same training for that 30 days, we need to take that and apply it to sin in our life. That wherever I am, whichever city, whichever province, whichever country, wherever, would whoever, sin must always be that consciousness that how can I commit the sin? That how I was conscious, Allah is watching me, I cannot eat. I must be conscious that Allah is watching me, how can I sin? So this is the essence of the month of Ramadan, to develop this taqwa. And this taqwa is what will keep us away from sin, that this month of training we have, while busy with our daily life, Allah is showing us you can live a life without sin and still enjoy life. We have that false notion that I have to get involved in this thing or that thing, which we know is sinful, in order to enjoy myself. But there can never be pleasure or happiness in the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. So understanding that Ramadan is our chance to build our lives away from sin. Now let's look at that hadith which I wanted to come to about Ramadan, which we've heard so much. It's a lengthy hadith, but we're only going to take the part that is related to Ramadan. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was ascending the minbar, and Jibreel alayhi salam came and said, woe, destruction be to that person who finds Ramadan and does not get forgiven. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ameen. Now, we hear this hadith, but do we ponder on these words? Do we ponder on the surroundings of this hadith? The surroundings will come to at the end, inshallah. But just think about this hadith for a moment, right? And I remember growing up, and I should always think that, who is so foolish enough that when Ramadan comes, he's not forgiven? Who is so foolish enough that when Ramadan comes, they're still involved in sins. And I should always think that this hadith is searching something simple and something not so difficult for us to do. But growing up and learning and studying, there must be a reason why this hadith was mentioned. That my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith was mentioned for a specific reason, that there will be a, that means there will be a category of people that who won't be forgiven. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this hadith. And when you think and you ponder, you see many a times we are so stuck within our own circle, within people who we are familiar, in a community who we are familiar with. And we are oblivious of what's happening beyond the boundaries, beyond our community. Because we are used to our neighbors, our friends, our family going for salah, leading salah, fasting in the month of Ramadan, doing what is correct. We think, hey, mashallah, I'm so strong. But we only know a few, we can count them on our hands. But the rest out of there, when you travel, when you see and you meet, you'll come to know how many Muslims there are who do not fast in the month of Ramadan. How many there are that do not even read Salah. How many there are that does not even know when last they open Quran or even know when what Quran looks like. And yet you see them every day in your life. But because you never interacted with them, you never realized the reality behind their lives. So whilst we make shukr to Allah for the deen we have, and sometimes we look at it and we feel Islam is so strong, alhamdulillah. But just venture out a bit and see all those in the surroundings and see others out there. And then you'll come to know that all these hadiths that were mentioned for a reason. Were mentioned for a reason. That they are very, they are in this very day and age, in our country, in our neighbors, people are not fasting in the month of Ramadan. People are not giving up sin in the month of Ramadan. That is why we see all these fitnas coming about in the month of Ramadan, of these tournaments and these festivals and all these things that's happening. Why? Because people don't realize what Ramadan is. They don't realize the hadith of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So nevertheless, coming back to this hadith, so how can a person come into Ramadan and exit Ramadan without being forgiven? But yet we see a person is engrossed in ibadat. A person is fasting. A person is doing good deeds and he's saying, I had a beautiful Ramadan, alhamdulillah. It all starts and it all boils down to one point, and which is the main aspect of discussion today, but there had to be that build up for it. And that is, we have to be able to identify sin in order to abandon sin. We have to be able to identify sin in order to abandon sin. What do I mean? Imagine that person who is making dua every day in Ramadan. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me for this sin, that sin. Forgive me for being so careless, for not being obedient to you. And he is making dua with a sincere heart. Oh Allah, you forgive me for my sins. But there are another whole bunch of sins in his life, but he doesn't regard them as sins. He doesn't consider them to be sins. And this is a very, very big sickness in today's time, where there are so many sins being committed. But because we have been desensitized towards sins, we don't regard them as a sin anymore. Because they are so widespread and so common in our community, in our families, we don't regard them as sins. Now, think of this here. That if I don't consider it a sin, it doesn't mean it's no longer a sin. It's still going to be a sin. If I don't consider poison as poison anymore, and I want to drink it, it's still going to harm me, it's still going to kill me, it still remains poison. So in time we see, as years have gone by, whatever sins we knew in the past, which was our parents' time, our grandparents, our time even, suddenly, magically, these sins have become what is known as halal and permissible. And this is a very, very dangerous part, where something which is haram, and Sharia has declared it haram, and a sin, and now we want to classify it as halal and permissible. This is very detrimental to our iman. By making something halal which is haram, or making something haram which is halal, we have to be very careful when it comes to this. So imagine now, as we mentioned, a person enters the month of Ramadan and he leaves it thinking he is forgiven, but he never makes tawbah and istighfar for certain sins in his life because he never thinks of it. Because of sins becoming so widespread now, we no longer think of it as a sin. We actually encourage each other towards that sin even, which is very, very dangerous, and we have to be very wary of the fact. We have to be very wary of the fact. So the first step for us not to be part of this people who are cursed by Jibreel alayhi salam and who got the Ameen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to first identify every single sin in our life according to Sharia, not according to society, not according to what people say. No, this is not bad, don't worry. We do it according to what Sharia says. And we see this is a prerequisite for Tawbah also. Tawbah is we acknowledge the sin, we feel remorse for the sin, and we make a firm intention never to go back to that sin. But how can a person ever get corrected if he doesn't ever feel I am doing something wrong? If a person doesn't ever feel that I am doing something wrong, there's no chance of him getting corrected then. Likewise, if a person doesn't ever feel that what I'm doing is a sin, it is haram, then there's no chance of him being his tawbah and istighfar being accepted, because he's not acknowledging the sin. So it all starts with knowledge. It starts with the knowledge of deen, the knowledge of Sharia, not what the community or society is telling us, but what we have been told by the Sharia. Now when we look at the hadith, we can understand this hadith. We can understand this hadith much, much more better, that I need to make sure all the time I thought it's so easy. I just make tawbah and istighfar, and I won't be from this category of people in Ramadan. But now I need to introspect my life. Are there sins in my life which I am doing, but because being so engrossed in it, I don't consider it to be sin, and as such, I am not being forgiven. So some of these common sins which have become widespread, which have become so common today that we don't even consider it sin, that we see people doing it and we're actually congratulating them and we're telling them they're looking so handsome, so pretty, so good you are looking, but whereas everything is contrary to Sharia. Some examples is mixed gatherings, people attending mixed gatherings where there's no farda between men and women. How often this is done today? Women leaving the house bareheaded, leaving the house, but from the house, and people can see them bareheaded with the photography that is taking place in today's time. So women bareheaded or wearing revealing clothes. And we're talking about Muslim women. Remember, we are talking about Muslims, not about non-Muslims. Men wearing shorts above their knees. So the fitna of sports in today's time, this has taken the masses, the ummah, by storm. That men no longer see something bad to expose my thighs, to expose my knees. So men wearing shorts, men having two-length hair, women tucking their hair, not according to how Sharia is to allow them, but rather cutting it short. Music being so common and everything, especially in the form of nasheeds, in the form of what they say, Islamic music, no such thing. All these are sins that have crept into our life, and we need to realize it. And one of the major, major sins, obviously, is the photography, animate photography, which is so rife in today's time. Imagine you are sitting, breaking your fast, and you're uploading pictures of your family breaking fast. MashaAllah, I had a lovely iftar today. But we are engrossed in sin at the most mubarak time. These are just some of the widespread sins which are no longer considered so serious today. But they will always remain serious. And we have to introspect and look at ourselves. Am I involved in these sins? If I am, I have to give it up. This Ramadan is the training time now. It's the time where I have to do it one day. And by the end of this month, I will inshallah not be part of that category who Jibreel said, woe be to that person who found the month of Ramadan and didn't get forgiven. And Nabi Sallallahu said, Ameen. And we're going to come to one point of this year, just by the end, inshallah. We've got a few more moments. But before we conclude, just one particular sin I would like to highlight, which has become so common in today's time, and is no longer even considered a sin, which is so hard to fathom how it's not considered a sin. But it is, and it will always remain a sin, and not be remain, it will never be permissible. And this is the television, the TV, the television in the homes. Now, we're not going into the discussion of why it's haram on this year, but it's evident in itself. A person with common sense, with a little bit intellect, will be able to see and admit, you know what, I know it's haram. Whatever excuses you want to make of why I need it, there's no excuse why it's halal. a person can come up with 100 excuses, one simple answer will be that how much filth is getting exposed to your children, how much filth is getting exposed within the homes, how much Naa Mahram is coming on the television, how much music is being played on the television, how much time is being wasted. Growing up, we remember the television was famously known as the Shaitan Box, the Shaitan Box. And that was such a befitting name for it that you'll see Thursday night or something, put it off. Jummah today, can't watch it. Or Ramadan now time, no more. Shaitan Box, it was called the Shaitan Box. Today we got Shaitan Box all over the house. And Shaitan went on a diet now. Is there more fat? It's a thin Shaitan now. So he looking smart. So we say, hey, no, it's looking so smart. How can it be bad? But that name is so befitting for the television. Why? Because just like how Shaitan will never accept Islam till the day of Qiyamah, the television will never become permissible till the day of Qiyamah because of the filth. And we learn the principle of Quran. If we might think there's a little bit of benefit, but when that harm outweighs the good, then Sharia gives that will make it impermissible. Because they ask about يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ, and Quran answered this here in a beautiful way. Allah Ta'ala has answered this here. So as Muslims, we need to be wary of this fact of the television. Give it up. This is the month. This is the month where we make the resolution. Give it up. Don't say, I spend so much to buy it. I spend so much every month. Imagine how much money is being wasted. Thousands on purchasing it. Thousands every month on subscriptions and whatever is being paid to watch and stream certain avenues. All this is getting wasted. How will we answer that on the day of Qiyamah? That Allah Ta'ala will ask you a question. Would your wealth that was given, how did you spend it? How will we justify this here? With the free time you were given, how did you spend your time? How will we justify sitting hours on end in front of the television with our families, and now children are growing up and they're seeing the television in the home. And in their minds, they don't see it as anything haram. They grow up thinking it's completely permissible, completely halal. Irrespective of what Islamic things might be shown there, as we said, that there, the harm outweighs the good. And if there is even any good in it. But there can never be any good when we're trying to propagate deen using haram means. When you're trying to give someone goodness, but you're giving them only filth via that there. There is no way that any good can come out of it. So we have to think about this here. And we have to see how we can identify the sins in our life in this Ramadan. According to what Sharia tells us is sins, not according to what we have become accustomed to. And is that love of sin greater, or is that love and that need for forgiveness greater? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. And now going back to the hadith, look at this here. Jibreel alayhi salam, the best of all angels. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of all creation. In Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the masjid, the best of all places in the earth, on the earth. This is where the curse was made. By who? The greatest of all angels. This is where the Ameen was said. By who? The greatest of all creation. What hope do we have of being forgiven if we're not going to take heed of this hadith? That let me leave Ramadan being forgiven via first identifying the sins and taking that sin by name and asking Allah, you forgive us, you forgive us. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq of abandoning all sins, of realizing a sin as a sin, not justifying it, not making excuses, but rather accepting it and say, oh Allah, now beg, oh Allah, whatever pleasure you might feel you are getting in that sin, it is nothing, nothing compared to the pleasure and the sweetness you will feel once you enter the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala accept us all. May Allah Ta'ala grant us a good Ramadan. And let us leave this Ramadan being totally forgiven, totally free of sin, with that hatred of sin entering our heart, and never to return to a life of sins again. May Allah Ta'ala always make us wary, that to always put Sharia first, and not our desires, not our emotions, and not what society says, but rather what my Allah and what my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.